breaking records seems to be a theme in the Nushigak district this season. Monday's was for record escapement in the Wood River. The district also saw harvest more than a million fish for the fourth day. It's July 3rd. I am your host, Avery Lill. You're tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
On tonight's show, escapement is falling a bit behind in Igigik District. Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Paul Salamone talks management strategy. We'll also catch up with the Ugashik fisherman about what his season looks like from his set net site.
This season has been, I would call it, weak.
Tim Sands briefs us on escapement in the Nushigak District.
Our previous largest escapement was 599,000 in one day in 1983.
Stick around to find out by how much yesterday's numbers beat the record. Then, you've all seen the age composition summaries estimating how old the salmon returning to Bristol Bay are this year. We'll meet two women working the docks in Dillingham to help get those numbers out.
People oftentimes nickname this job as the pickers and the lickers, so I said I'm not a licker, I'm only a picker.
That and more on tonight's show. We'll be right back after a short break. Don't turn that dial.
Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen, online at bristolbayfishermen.org. Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS.
And let's dive into those numbers. Starting with Ugashik, the daily catch there yesterday was 56,000 sockeye for a cumulative 237,400 this season. Escapement yesterday was 3,000. That brings the season cumulative to 8,000. In Igigik, fishermen yesterday hauled in 227,000 sockeye, bringing the season cumulative to 990,000. Escapement yesterday was 32,500, the cumulative 392,000. In the Naknek-Quijack, 66,000 sockeye harvested for a season cumulative 440,000, daily escapement 274,000 for a cumulative of 423,000. In the Quijack River, there was a daily escapement of 1,900, cumulative 5,000, in-river estimate 100,000. The Alagnac River, 1,500 escapement yesterday, cumulative 2,900. In the Naknek River, 270,000 escapement yesterday, cumulative 415,000 total. In the Nushigak District, posted over a million sockeye harvested, that's 1.1, cumulative 8.7 million so far. Escapement yesterday was 1.2 million for a cumulative escapement of 2.8 million. That puts the total run to the Nushigak at 11.5 million so far. Let's break the escapement in the Nushigak district down by river. 4,671 kings made it past the Portage Creek sonar, making the Nushigak River escapement of kings 68,896 to date. Again, that is well past the minimum escapement of 55,000. 70,000 sockeye made it up the river for a season total of 262,000. 41,300 chum made it past the Portage Creek sonar for a season escapement of 421,000. Past the Wood River counting tower, 1.1 million yesterday, another 115,000 this morning before 6 o'clock. That puts the season total escapement at 2.5 million. On the Ugashik River, 22,000 yesterday with another 4,000 before 6 this morning. That puts the season cumulative escapement at 103,000. We should have numbers from Togiak's counting tower any day now. Sockeye per drift delivery in Ugashik, 737. In Igigik, 634. In the Naknek-Quijack, 116. In Nushigak, 751. In Togiak, 108. Now let's talk about where the boats are. In Igigik, 371 permits registered on 300 vessels. With 71 D boats, in 48 hours, there will be 306 vessels in the district. These numbers are as of 3:45 today. In the Naknek Kwijak district, 181 permits on 163 vessels for a total of 18 D boats. Some more boats coming to the district in 48 hours. In 2 days' time, there will be 217 vessels there. Nushagak, 927 permits on 688 vessels. Right now, there are 238 D boats. Those numbers should hold steady for 48 hours. In Togiak, 30 permits on 30 vessels, no D boats. Those numbers will hold steady for 2 days. In Nugashik, 86 permits on 68 vessels, 18 D boats, 97 vessels in 48 hours. There are a total of 1,595 permits registered across Bristol Bay on 1,249 vessels. That makes a total of 345 D boats in the five Bristol Bay districts. Now let's talk about Port Moeller stock composition. We've got the numbers for June 30th to July 1st. Of the fish sampled, 2.2% were returning to the North Peninsula, 9.9% returning to Ugashik, 7.9% returning to Igigik, 13.1% returning to Naknek, 1.0% returning to the Alagnak, 10.4% returning to the Kwijak, 17.1% returning to the Nushagak, 21.3% returning to the Wood, 16.9% returning to Igushik, none returning to Togiak, 0.2% returning to the Kuskokwim. We've also got the daily numbers from Port Moeller. I'll read both yesterday's and today's. From June 2nd, we've got 2 in the 4.5 at Station 4, 1 in the 5 1/8 at Station 4, Station 6, 9 in the 4.5, 2 in the 5 1/8, Station 8, 14 in the 4.5, 7 in the 5 1/8, Station 10, 4 in the 4.5, 1 in the 5 1/8, at Station 12, 8 in the 4.5, 9 in the 5 1/8. At Station 14, 3 in the 4.5, 7 in the 5 1/8. At Station 16, the final station fished yesterday, 8 in the 4.5, 4 in the 5 1/8. That makes the July 2nd total for fish caught in the 4.5-inch mesh 48, 31 caught in the 5 1/8. The mean daily catch index yesterday was 26 from stations 2 through 10. The mean daily catch index at station 2 through 24 was 30. Now today's catches, starting again at station 4. 1 in the 4.5, 1 in the 5 1/8. At station 6, 5 in the 4.5, 7 in the 5 1/8. At station 8, 13 in the 4.5, 15 in the 5 1/8. At station 10, 24 in the 4.5, 32 in the 5 1/8. At station 12, a whopping 83 in the 4.5, and 87 in the 5 1/8. At station 14, 31 in the 4.5, 34 in the 5 1/8. At station 16, 5 in the 4.5, 8 in the 5 1/8. That makes a total of 162 fish caught in the 4.5 and 184 sockeye caught in the 5 1/8 today. We have by far the highest daily mean catch index, and this is for stations 2 through 24 today. The daily mean catch index was 93. That's it for your numbers. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top-quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
You're tuned in to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. We're here with you nightly, 6, 10, and 2 a.m. We've also got an early show on Saturday and Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon. We're going to start tonight's show on the east side. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game this afternoon issued an announcement that escapement is beginning to fall behind desired levels, so the district did not open in Igigik today, and fishing will switch to the morning tide. Area Management Biologist Paul Salamone talked with me about how he's making these management decisions for the Igigik District.
As always, it's about escapement. And it's at this moment, the volume that is passing through the district is on the afternoon tide. So one of the techniques that's out there is to switch from the tide where the fish are, the most fish are, and go to the other tide when right before a tide switch. So when the fish switch from moving from one tide to the other, if you switch a couple days ahead of them, that's another way to put escapement upriver and still allow people some fishing time.
So the hope is to get a big push of fish that way when you switch to that tide?
Something. Not sure how big it's going to be at this point, but the main goal is to take escapement where there is escapement and while it's here.
That makes sense. And when you're looking at the numbers in the test fisheries, what are you seeing for Igigik?
Which test fishery?
Port Muller.
Port Muller? There's some interesting things going on with that one this year, and I really don't want to put too much of an interpretation on it. We've been looking at Station 6 the last couple of days. That's about where the only catch has been coming from up until just the last day or so. There was a pretty narrow band of fish moving through there last week. Typically, that suggests Igigik, but this year it seems to be mixed stocks based on the genetics that we've been getting. So that has caused me to kind of reevaluate where things are. As I go through the year, I look for certain things, and if they don't happen by a particular time span, then I start trying to adjust so we get escapement. And this year we pulsed it pretty nicely twice, so I'm looking to get a third pulse in there. That's what the objective of this is.
And what are those certain things you look for?
Right now, it's lack of escapement.
Gotcha. And how much of a concern is it at this point?
We're doing okay, but I've been in positions before where I've had escapements of this level on the 1st or so of July, and the back end of the run hasn't materialized, so I've developed a strategy to make sure we get it. And this is one of them, is to start alternating tides and allowing some fish to get through without fishing on them.
And then what about Ugashik? How is it doing this year?
That's actually not looking bad. We've got a little bit of a pulse that entered the river probably starting Friday or Saturday. We had some fish in the district Friday. They're not big numbers, but we do have some escapement from the fish that arrived on Friday afternoon. We're still trying to get an assessment on it because they just started to hit the in-river test fishery yesterday. Today was a pretty good set of indexes from up there. So there are fish in the pipe, but we're not really sure yet what it amounts to based on having not had the chance to ground truth them with the tower data.
And it looks like some of the boats that were in Nooshigak may be switching into some of your districts. Does having more boats in the district impact how you're thinking about managing them?
It definitely influences how much time we fish, but it's also nice to have a fleet there that can stop a big push if one shows up.
Fair enough. Are there any other pieces of data that you're watching to help as you're trying to figure out the shape of this run?
I'm still on day-by-day management. And right now, we've paced escapement pretty nicely to this point. It's time to get a little more from this run segment. And if we do, if what I'm trying to do works, then we'll reassess and readjust in the following days.
And I know we've asked you about fish size before, and it sounds like the fish are coming in a little small. Is that still the case from what you're hearing?
Yes. There's the two distinct size classes. There's the three ocean fish, which are about the size we kind of have become accustomed to seeing them, 5.5 to 6 pounds. And then there's a smaller group of fish in the 3 to 4.5 pound range but they appear to be 1-2s with some jacks mixed in.
And I'm imagining that there's a lot of variables that go into that, but is that some indicator that there's stress out in the ocean, or is there anything that we can know about those?
Hard to say right now because it's just the first age class. It's obvious they're not real big, but it's a 1-2 year class, but particularly for Igik, that's kind of unusual. No way to really put a read on it just now. Smaller, definitely smaller.
Okay, thank you so much for doing this update with me.
Anytime, Avery.
Now let's head down to Ugashik, where the fishing is still slow. Again, yesterday's catch was 56,000 sockeye. That brings the total harvest this season to 237,000. This afternoon, I had a conversation with a set netter for some eyes on the water perspective.
Hey, this is Roger Petron, and we're fishing at Ugashik Bay at Pilot Point. So we set net our 40th year this year fishing this area, and my wife, Susan, and my sons, Luke, Andrew, and Edward.
And tell me what you're seeing so far this season.
Oh, I would say it's a weaker push of fish that have come in that we normally see in the end of June, very early July, just in the catch being spotty and not being fish everywhere through the district. So the size, though, we talked about earlier that people are seeing small fish, and that's not been our experience with what we're catching, although we only speak for ourselves. They've been good-sized fish, so really nice, healthy, and good size. Although the fish size has been good as far as what we've been catching, they're a nice size, great-looking fish.
So you're seeing some big fish?
Yes, although we only speak for ourselves, they've been good-sized fish.
When you're saying that the run is a little weak, though, is it weak within the realm of normal, or is it surprising to you?
Well, that's a good question. I guess at this point, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, it's the old, we'll know when it's over. But I have seen in the past where if we have a smaller run, you know, it's not that you don't catch anything. In the end, your impression is just that it was weak. You know, you go out and where you're spending a day and you're it's just the frequency of hits. I mean, in the end of the day, that's what makes your total catch. And so you're just seeing spurts instead of catching, you know, sometimes you see 10, 12 fish hit the net at once. You see 2, 3. And they're just little bunches and not very many through the day. You know, there's a presence, but they're just not strong. So I guess that would be my description.
That makes sense. So right now you're just seeing those spurts, and we won't really know the context until the end of the season.
Yeah, and it's the old, the description I guess a lot of people use is pecking. You know, it's pecking away instead of, a hit here and a hit there. And you can also see the seals are just ferocious. I mean, they are hungry. And normally when there's a lot of fish around, they will find their own, source, and they're busy on their own. But they are on the net just, constantly in large numbers.
Gosh, that's miserable to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there anything else that we should say about what you're seeing out there or how the fishing's going?
Well, we've had good weather. That's been a real plus here the last days. We're just hoping to see, the main run of fish come in here soon. Not unusual for us to wait till a little bit after the 4th of July to see the main push of fish arrive. So we're hoping for that.
Turning to the Nooshigak, two items for you. First, some good news on the Nooshigak River. The specter of restricted mesh size has been lifted. Yesterday, the district was on the clock for switching to 4¾-inch mesh to help more Nooshigak River-bound fish get past the fleet to spawn. Area management biologist Tim Sands says that yesterday's high escapement numbers, 70,000 sockeye up the Noosh, made it unlikely that will happen this season.
So we did end up getting a big increase in escapement on the Nooshigak yesterday. So that stopped that 48-hour clock that was ticking down to implementing the 4¾-inch mesh. We're still not above the lower end escapement goal boundary of 370,000, but we're much closer, and our raw counts so far today indicate that we're going to have another very good escapement day up there, and I think that'll push us over the lower end, and so we will not have to worry about any kind of mesh restriction or using the Wood River Special Harvest Area to protect Nooshigak sockeye this season.
Second item, Wood River escapement.
Our previous largest escapement was 599,000 in one day in 1983, and then we had a two-day stretch in 1998 that had, you know, 521 day and 512,000 the next day. So it's 1.1 million is pretty amazing.
In case you missed that in the recitation of numbers, yesterday's escapement of 1.1 million sockeye up the Wood River almost doubled the previous record set in 1983. Every couple of days during salmon season, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports how many sockeye from each age class are returning to Bristol Bay. But how do they get those numbers for 2-2s, 2-3s, and so on? KDLG's Austin Fast followed their pickers and lickers for a day to see how it's done.
People oftentimes nickname this job as the pickers and the lickers, so I said I'm not a licker, I'm only a picker.
That's Hannah Hendrickson. She's talking about picking freshly caught sockeye salmon out of huge ice-filled crates so she can mark down their length, weight, and gender. The licker is her colleague Devin Lisak. She stands across the table at the Peter Pan Seafoods processing plant in Dillingham, snipping off bits of fins and plucking out fish scales. Here, she gives me some pointers for sticking them to thick cards to send to the lab over in King Salmon.
Grab the tweezers, and then you just give it a lick.
It's stuck on my tongue.
And then we take it, and that was fish number 4, so it goes on slot 4. And how did that taste?
It tasted flaky.
Flaky?
Flaky, and didn't really taste like much, actually.
No.
Tastes like chicken skin.
Yeah.
Kind of crispy.
Not bad.
A little bit? Yeah, give me some more.
It's an acquired taste.
The pair are part of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's seasonal crew, tasked with sampling 240 sockeye a day from each district in the bay. They also do 200 chums and 200 kings every week. They're looking at fish scales like tree rings to determine age. Wider sections indicate nutrient-rich summers, while narrower ones are the scarce winters. Jack Erickson, a research coordinator with Fish and Game and King Salmon, explains what the age classifications of 1-2 or 2-3 and so on mean.
We can, by looking at the scales, look at its growth pattern and then determine how many full years it spent in freshwater and how many years it spent in salt water. But when we say a 2-2, that means two full seasons at least in fresh and two full seasons in salt.
With a giant sockeye run of 51.3 million forecast for this year, should Bristol Bay fishermen care how old their salmon are? Erickson says, absolutely.
1-2s are smaller typically than 1-3s. They're a year longer in the salt water for growth. They're concerned about their markets as well. So, yeah, they should be looking at it as well. I think there's a lot of fishermen, very savvy, that are looking at the same information the biologists are when they look at that port molar test fishery, when they look at our age comps, when they look at our escapements. They're wondering the same thing and wanting to have instant access to it, just like the biologists here sitting in the King Salmon in Dillingham.
Providing all that fish data is messy work, with hours just as dependent on the tides as fishermen. During the school year, Hendrickson wrangles squirming 4-year-olds. She's now doing the same with fish that are just as slippery.
Sometimes we're doing an overnight sample that starts at 10 in the evening and goes till 3 in the morning. There's one time we got everything cleaned up and a tender from Igushit came in and we're like, we'll take him! So then we're here doing that stuff again.
Hendrickson is just 2 weeks into her first season sampling the Nushagak harvest. On the other hand, Lisak is an old pro in her fourth summer with Fish and Game.
Every day, it's a struggle fighting with dead fish. And then when I get home, most of the time they're processing fish at the house, so it never ends.
So your whole life this time
yes,
of year
Yes, this
is
time
fish.
Of the year is fish. I do get tired of eating fish and fish.
Fish and Game has one catch sampler in Togiak and four in King Salmon, all sending data to the lab. Erickson says analyzing salmon genetics is just one tool in managing Bristol Bay's fishery.
It's a predictor. It doesn't always come in exactly as predicted. Matter of fact, they rarely do. Some come in large, some come in small. We don't take any specific one as a sign that something's bad or good. It just helps us kind of lead the direction of how we're going to manage.
Catch samplers will be meeting tenders at the dock every day across Bristol Bay until July 19th. In Dillingham, I'm Austin Fast.
Before we go, the marine weather forecast for tonight. Southeast winds of 10 knots, increasing to 15 knots in the afternoon, seas 2 with patchy fog. Tonight, southeast winds of 20 knots, seas 3 feet. Wednesday, southwest winds 15 knots, seas 3. Wednesday night, west winds 20 knots, seas 4. We have one message to the fleet. I'll give you one guess who it's from. Eric Mitby on the Orca. Feldman says, Coughlin's Law. Anything else? Is something better. Aldo Nova at Seven Feathers, 7/14. Angelina's love related directly to your CPU. # poem, poem, poem with 3 exclamation points. Feldman, I'm glad you're almost as excited about poetry as I am. Careful what you say about Angelina, though. I think another of Coughlin's laws was never to tell tales about a woman. She'll hear you no matter how far away she is. That's all I've got for you tonight. Thanks to Austin Fast for his work on tonight's show. I'm your host, Avery Lill. Keep in touch with me at avery@kdlg.org or call the station 907-842-5281. Send your feedback, questions you'd like answered, or messages to the fleet. In the meantime, stay safe and good luck out there. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 6.
Support for KDLG comes from commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay. Fishermen working together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region. Please join us in standing for salmon. Text JUMPER to 907-268-4905 to get involved and be entered in to win a $200 Alaska Airlines or a $200 LFS gift card. Or visit our website at fishermenforbristolbay.org. Brought to you by Commercial Fishermen of Bristol Bay.